Before Jesus walked into a room, there are sets of three angels, total six angels. They usually come into the room seconds before he walks into a room. They have really large wings, about 10, 50 feet wide and long.
So the six angels plus Jesus is seven. Yeah. And then what happens?
They will always, what they do is they will come, and they come very fast into the room. They bow facing each other, and they spread their wings in front of them, making a path for Jesus.
Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Tommy Almonte. Tommy is from the Dominican Republic, and as a young boy, he saw miracles. In fact, he literally had a dream that showed the future of every member of his family. But he fulfilled those prophecies from the dream, came to the United States, and tragedy hit you. One of your best friends, who also had moved to the United States, committed suicide. How did it affect you?
You know, it was one of those events that you never think is going to happen to you. You hear of people committing suicide, and it never crosses your mind that it might happen to someone that you love and someone that you know. And when it happened to me, it sent me into a mode of going away from God. I didn't want to have to do anything with God.
Were you angry with God because your friend committed suicide?
I was. Yeah, yeah. I blame God for my best friend committing suicide.
You know, a lot of you are angry with God, and your anger is focused in the wrong direction. God is love. And his friend committed suicide because there is an enemy of God, and you have an enemy in the invisible realm. But Tommy, you didn't understand this, and so you drifted from God for a long time. What changed your mind?
You know, I found myself in a place where I didn't enjoy sinning, because there was a voice which I didn't know. Now I know it was the voice of the Holy Spirit. It would remind me daily, you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. But then I would go to church the next day, and I would be very uncomfortable because I was very angry with God. So I was between these two places.
You were almost like in two different worlds.
I was, yeah. And not satisfied. Yes, when I would get together with friends, I was happy, and I would put my face of everything is great and it's fine. But when I was alone, this feeling of being depressed, because I wasn't happy with this God that I was taught since I was a kid, and I didn't want to do anything with him. And I wasn't enjoying being away from God.
You must have been miserable.
I was. I came to a point that I was so empty inside that one day I made a deal with God. I said, I tell you what, I'm going to pursue you, and if I don't find you, this voice, whatever it is, I want it to go away so I can go and do whatever I want.
And you couldn't live with that bad feeling you had, the guilt you had.
Yeah, and I do believe it was, you know, the prayer of my parents praying for me. But we made that deal that day, and it's funny, I laugh now.
Now, did you think that God was going to become real to you?
No, I was setting him up, and that's the funny thing is that in the back of my mind, I say, I'm setting you up because I know that I'm not going to find you, and this is going to go away, and I can go and pursue what I want.
By the way, in the meantime, while Tommy is trying to find out if God is real and thinking he really isn't a personal God, the personal God just spoke to me and told me that many of you are being physically healed right now. There are people that have back problems. If you'll bend over, you'll see the pain is gone. I mean, literally, your spines are being straightened. And people with pain in your neck, the pain is gone. People with migraines, they are gone in Jesus' name. And even sight, anything in the head area, breathing, allergies, sinus, eyes, you are healed in Jesus' name. So, Tommy, you made this deal. But you know what? I believe that wasn't a deal. what you were asking for is what God wanted. You didn't even have to make a deal, even though you thought he wasn't personal because your friend committed suicide. Yeah. But what happened?
Well, the first thing he said, if you're going to do it my way, you're going to do it my way. And he said, I want you to take one day of the week and spend time with me. Don't do anything else. I want you to go in that room and spend the whole day with me. I don't want you to bring books. I don't want you to do anything else. And I said, what? Spend a day with you? What am I going to be doing with you for a day? But I did. And the only day that I had open was Saturday. So every day from 5 in the morning to late in the afternoon, 5, 6 p.m., I would be there with God, spending time with him. And in those
you
times...
You realize you're really approaching coming to God in a Jewish fashion.
I didn't know
that. We Jewish people take Saturday to put God first, so to speak, in our life. So God's making you, from the Dominican Republic, very Jewish. Yeah. So were you a little worried? What am I going to do all day?
I was. As a matter of fact, I thought that I was losing my mind. What am I going to do? And, you know, and I didn't want to say anything to anyone. I didn't want people to think that I was losing my mind. But I did. I said, if I'm going to prove that there's no God, I'm going to do whatever he says. So I went and I spent time with him. But in those times is when I went from being angry to wanting to know him. I went from going in that room to prove that he's not there to going in there to find him and to meet with him. And in those times is when I had the most personal time with God.
You're telling me God showed up?
He did.
Well, I tell you something. I tell you that Tommy told me before we started speaking that he's not special, but he serves a special God that you don't have to make a deal with. This is God's heart. This is God's desire that you would have intimacy with him. Wait till you find out how the invisible world opened up to Tommy. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, YouTube. Mishpacha. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Tommy Almonte. Tommy went from a position of being in two worlds, the world of the invisible, where as a young child, Tommy, you saw miracles happen,
yes,
the world of someone that is almost denying the reality because your friend committed suicide, and you felt, what would you say the emotion that you felt? Was it guilt? Was it, what was going on inside of you that caused you to say, I can't live this way?
You know, I became tired. I think you can only run away from God for so long. And the longer you stay in that place, you become more and more empty. And I was so empty that I knew that there has to be something better than this. I don't think it's God, but I'm going to give you a chance.
Okay, so Tommy did that. And he felt God said to him, meet with me all day Saturday. Just be alone with me. He said, how can I spend the whole day just being alone with God? But he found that instead of being, after a while, a discipline, how long did it take when it was moved from saying a discipline to a delight?
Within months, I went from being angry to wanting to pursue God. Because those days, every single day, God would somehow do something in my spirit. And not knowing what was taking place, but I went from, that anger went away. It just went away. And I found myself wanting to know this God, that now I know that you are a God that wants to have a relationship with me, but I don't know how. So teach me how, because I want to get to know you.
And is it true that you began to see angels going up and down to the throne room and began seeing things in the invisible world?
Yeah, one of the first experiences that I had, it was I found myself standing before God and there are angels and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it was a way of God saying, this is who I am. This is what I want for everyone.
Now, were you afraid when this first happened?
I don't think I was afraid, but when I came back, the first thought that crossed my mind is, I'm losing my mind. Hmm. I'm not going to share this with anyone because people are going to say, you know, you're losing your mind. But one of the things that I noticed is physically, I was numb for about 3 days. I couldn't feel my hands and my feet. I can't explain, you know, why that happened, but that was maybe just to show me in the physical that what has taken place in the spiritual is not something that I was creating. This is taking place.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this is human flesh that we're dealing with. When you come into the presence of pure love, and that's what God is, He's a Father, and He is pure love. Something has to give, and it's not God. Yeah. Well, for instance, I know now that when God chooses, you can look into the invisible world. For instance, before the break, God started speaking to me, and I spoke to people that were being healed, and you said you saw something. What did you see?
I was able to see people receiving the gift, and the gift would come to them, and they would receive it, and it come into their spirit. And things like that, many times will happen, not only as a confirmation of what God is doing, what you were doing, but as a confirmation to those that are listening and viewing this, that God, those that were receiving that, it's a gift that God has given you, that healing. Yeah.
When you go to prayer and you do it early morning, do you do it all day now, or what do you do now for your prayer?
Well, one of the first things that God said is, I want you to find the same place and the same time to spend time with me. And I didn't know why, but I said, I'm going to do it. I spend time with God every morning at 5:30 in the morning. Doesn't make any difference whether I'm here or in China. I get up at 5:30 in the morning and I spend time with God. It's the time that I have with Him. One day, after a couple of years of meeting with God, I got up and I think I was just lazy. I got comfortable meeting with God. And I walk into the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you're late, Tommy.
I'll tell you something. I don't want to be late. But for the Holy Spirit to speak that way, most of you would say, Tommy, you're a very special person to have a gift like that.
Well, for a second, I thought that I was special. And I said to God, you know, why is this taking place? You know, it's something special about me. And He said, no, this is for everyone. It's for everyone, you know. Now people have the freedom to walk into my presence, and they can come and have intimacy with me. I mean, it's the reason why Jesus died on the cross, is to restore that relationship that was broken. So today we can walk into His presence and be with Him.
Tommy, if I never see a miracle, to be in that realm, it's so important. But I'm curious, Tommy, have you ever seen a blind person born blind get their sight back?
Yes, I had. I have seen, growing up, I grew up in a...
I'll tell you what, I want you to see a blind person who was born blind. This is called a messianic miracle. Only in the name of Yeshua, that's Hebrew for Jesus, can this happen. The New Age can't counterfeit this. Let's go to Sandy Suha, who was born with a blind right eye.
Hi, my name is Sandy. I born in 1990, and when I born, I was blind on the right eye. And back home, there were doctors that I was going every day, and the doctors could not help me. And when I came to Canada for almost 5 years ago, like 1 year ago, I came to this church in September 1st, and they prayed for me. I went to Coketown, but when they prayed for me, I did not believe that God can help me, and I did not believe that God can heal me. And when they prayed for me, nothing happened because I did not believe. And they asked, and they told me to go back the next day. And when I went to my cousin's house, because I was sleeping over at their house, and they just told me, you just have to believe that Jesus can heal you. And I was when I went to the room, I was praying, and I started to believe them because they were reading for me from the Bible, and I just started to believe that there is Jesus who can help me. And I went back the next day, and like end of the prayer, they prayed for me, and they told me to close my eyes, so I did, and they prayed for me. I was just standing like this, like the light was right front of me, and they prayed for me, and when I opened my eyes, I can see now, and Jesus healed me, and I believe that Jesus can heal you.
That's an example of a miracle cam, an extraordinary God that uses ordinary people. I am sure that many of you have had miracles. Why don't you take your home video and do a 2 or 3 minute report of what God did in your life? Send it to us, check it out on the web for the details, and we'll investigate. And if we find out that they're genuine, we'll put it on the air. We call it Miracle Cam. Be right back after this word. Don't go away. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Tommy Almonte. And Tommy is just an ordinary person with an extraordinary God. Tommy, when you began to realize that the Holy Spirit wanted to be your friend, your companion, and you had to acknowledge Him wherever you went, when you went to meetings, tell me what you would observe.
Every time that Jesus is going to walk into a room, it never happens without the presence of the Holy Spirit.
You're telling me you see Jesus walk into a room?
Yes, yes.
What does He look like?
It's a typical guy, you know. You will see Him in the crowd and you will never pick Him, you know, because He doesn't want to be known as Jesus. You know, He's just a typical guy that will get lost in the crowd. That's the best way that I can explain Him. But before He walks into a room, the Holy Spirit has to be there. He will never, never walk into a room without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus walked into a room, there are sets of 3 angels, total 6 angels. They usually come into the room seconds before He walks into a room. They have really large wings, about 10, 50 feet wide and long.
So wait a second. You're telling me that Jesus is just like an ordinary person when you look at Him. He looks just like an ordinary type of human. But when He walks in a room, 6 angels are with Him. And you know what I'm wondering? This is a menorah. It's found in the ancient temple in Israel. And it has 7 flames. So the 6 angels plus Jesus is 7. Yeah. And then what happens?
They will always, what they do is they will come, and they come very fast into the room. They bow facing each other, and they spread their wings in front of them, making a path for Jesus. Hmm. Even though He's a, you know, ordinary guy, but that authority that comes with Jesus, you know, wherever He goes, and they spread their wings, and within seconds, then you know Jesus is going to walk into the room, and there He comes. Every single time, it's the same process. You know, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, you will never see Jesus.
So when you're in an auditorium, when you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and someone was, again, just physically healed, this is, you know what, when the Holy Spirit is present, and Tommy, I must tell you, I've read this book, and you explain of the process of coming to know the Holy Spirit, to coming to know God, coming to know Jesus. And anyone can do this.
You know, we get really surprised when we hear about having a relationship with God. But that's why we were created. You and I, from the beginning of time, God created you and I to have intimacy with God. and salvation, Jesus came to restore that, intimacy.
You know, but when we go to church, we think in terms, or Messianic Jewish synagogue, we think in terms of the paid professional is to have the intimacy and to help us peons. But you're saying that's not what God really wants.
No, I mean, intimacy. One day I was in his presence and he said, intimacy will never be developed in a group setting. It's a one-on-one relationship. When you go into a group setting, you celebrate the intimacy that you have. So the notion that, we get together to be intimate with God is a notion that, is just is out of place. Any intimate moment that I have with my spouse, I can tell you that it's when we are alone. It's never when we are in a group setting. We celebrate that intimacy when we are with friends and families. But when we are alone, it's when we develop that intimacy and we start growing more into that intimacy that we have.
You know, I have a suggestion for you. After we go off the air, why don't you go into your bedroom or go into a private place and say, Holy Spirit, I want to come to know you the way Tommy does. And you're not a respecter of persons. I want to know Jesus. I want to know God the Father. And would you recommend they just be still?
Well, the first thing that in any relationship, the first thing you want to do is acknowledge the person. You know, when I met my wife, you know, if I were to just walk by her and not say hello to her, we wouldn't be here today. So the first step is to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is not easy, because we have a notion that he's a ghost or some kind of wind out there, but he's a person. And to acknowledge who he is step number one to engage into a relationship, in an intimate relationship with God.
Let me ask you a question. When you see Jesus in an auditorium, you said first the Holy Spirit, you can feel his presence. Then you see Jesus who appears almost like an ordinary person. Is he dressed like an ordinary person?
He never wears shoes.
His sandals?
No sandals, just barefoot. You can see his feet. But he usually just walk among the people. He enjoys watching his people worship. There's something about that. He come and he just walk among them. And he walks among them, and then just the same way he came, he leaves. And he just exits the room.
And what do angels look like?
Well, there are different angels. There are some service that I had attended to. You will see that there are angels line up from the entrance of the church all the way to around the church.
But what are they doing?
Those angels are protecting. And they have their soldiers, and they're protecting, and they line up against each other all the way in surrounding the area where the presence of God is going to be. And then inside, you find angels. Those angels are angels that worship God. And they're not concerned about protecting anything, but they're more concerned about just praising the presence of God.
You know, Tommy, I believe that God is so pleased with this discussion. You see the sincerity of this young man. I tell you that God wants you to experience peace. You've experienced a lot of things in your life, but there is nothing like the peace that comes from God. This life is just a blink of the eye compared to eternity that has no end. And a lot of people, their religious conviction is, say a little prayer, and when I die, I'll go into heaven. But I believe Jesus came so we can experience a little bit of heaven on earth. We have a job to do here, and we can't fulfill this job. We can't have a sense of fulfillment unless we have intimacy with God. Now, the only way, I'd like to say there are many ways to intimacy with God. I would like to, but according to the Bible, the only way to intimacy with God is through the Messiah. According to the Torah, the Jewish scriptures, Moses said, you won't follow me, to the Jewish people, but God will send another one like me, a Jew, and you must follow him. And in the New Covenant, it says there's no other name given unto men in which we must be saved. So the first thing you do is tell God you're sorry for your sins, and then believe that the blood of Jesus washes them away, and then say, Jesus, I make you my Lord. Come and live inside of me. Holy Spirit, I want to know you so that I can demonstrate God's kingdom on earth. And I'll tell you what, God's pleasure is moving on you right now. God's presence is moving on the people right now.